Stars of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. In a moment, we're going to ask, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give all five of the questions again, and then I'll open up the phone line. I'll tell you when I open the phone lines up. I'm not going to open the phone lines up just yet. We will open the phone lines up when we go to our first break of this hour. And by the way, I'm looking at myself in the camera, in the monitor here, and this, which is my left eye, you guys are probably looking at it and you're saying, good God in heaven, what happened to Phil? And I can just tell you that after a very stressful Saturday night, a lot of stuff was going on, I woke up Sunday morning with the blood vessels in my left eye just burst. And not all of them, but just enough of them to cause this really frightening-looking bloody eye that you're looking at. it's fine. I don't have any vision. My vision's not impaired. There's no pain. There's no blood that's coming out of the eye. It's something I've experienced before, and I don't know, maybe you have too, where if there's too much pressure, and it could be something that you don't know you're doing, you know, it could be a physical reaction you're having that you don't really notice, and you may, you know, have blood vessels burst in your eyes. It's happened to me before in my life. I've said, you know, to you, bud.
Yeah, you got to go to the doctor if it doesn't fix.
Yeah. Well, I will. I'll go to the doctor if it don't fix. If it doesn't go away, I'll go to the doctor. But it is clearing up a little bit from the way it was yesterday, that's for sure. All right. So now we will restate these five questions that we asked for the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, and if you're the winner, then you are a sweet and marvelous person, and you win a hoodie. All right. First question, what L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? Number two, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Number two, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Number three, give the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Give the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Number four, the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Number four, the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And the fifth and final question that we did ask at the end of last hour, we'll ask it again. What state is Margaret Gray from originally? What state is Margaret Gray from originally? All right, when we open up the phone lines, I'll let you know. They're not open yet. But I will tell you, and we will rock and roll. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we are in our news and information hour here. And how was your weekend, everybody? Bud, how was yours?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I did some work on this and my bikes and stuff.
How about you, Robert?
Took my aunt shopping. She didn't go shopping. And I just sort of kicked it, man. I want some... NBA, you know.
Oh, you know, I haven't seen any playoffs at all.
Yeah, you've seen a hockey.
I haven't seen anything, man. I've seen a little bit of the hockey. I've seen none of the basketball. By the time the weekend rolls around, I'm just grateful to have the time off that I don't do normal things that other people would do.
What's that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean that I'm out flashing people, bud, okay? It just means that when I get a couple of days off, just given the hours that I'm working and also just the number of hours that we put into a lot of other stuff that we do for our business, I tend to just veg out on weird stuff, which I won't go to, not going to go into right now. But let me just put it to you this way. I watched a hell of a lot of stuff this weekend about the Mayan thing.
What's that? You're talking about the end of the world. You talking about the Mayan end of the world?
Yeah, I was watching stuff on the Mayan so-called apocalypse. Man, I ain't ever seen anything so stupid in my life. I mean, I haven't seen anything so asinine in my life.
You know the Mayans predicted it, though.
They didn't predict nothing, man. It's just some people think they did.
Dude, what do you think?
I think it's horse dung.
Yeah, you always say that, man. One of these days, you're going to be wrong.
Well, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, bud. I don't care. It's horse dung. It's more a symptom of the human race's propensity and proclivity for predicting the end of the world every now and again. It's more of a symptom of how we are afraid of death, and we would much rather share the experience than go through it alone. And so we come up with these fanciful ideas of when the world's going to end. The world's not ending in December. And
you're willing to go on the record.
Go on the record? Yeah, I'm going on the record. The world won't end in December.
Okay, so even though you could be wrong.
Yes, there's an outside chance I'll be wrong.
But you say it's outside.
Because the world hasn't ended yet, and no one has given me any information about anything scientific that it's going to end in December. So therefore, it is a outside, at best, chance, at best, that the world's going to end, and I don't even think it's an outside chance. I don't think there's any chance at all, not given what we know.
What about all the Mayan stuff?
What about the Mayan? Who cares about the Mayan stuff?
You don't think the Mayan know? I mean, even you said they invented writing.
So they invented writing. So what? What's that got to do with them knowing? Look, we're a far more advanced civilization than the Mayans. Wouldn't you say that?
Well.
Are you kidding me? Do you think we're more advanced than the Mayans? Yes or no? You, Robert.
Well, I mean.
Come on, man.
Yeah, we are.
Bud?
But about, they probably know more about magical stuff.
Oh, they knew more about magical stuff, did they? Really? And what gives you that idea?
Just because they were more magical and everything.
Oh, were they more magical? I didn't know they were more magical. What made them more magical? You mean they walked around with big feathers on their head and they went, ooh, and they made a big deal out of everything? Is that it?
No.
Then what makes them more magical?
I just think they are.
Okay, well then I'm going to take that as a no, you don't think they're more advanced than we are today. So America is a far more advanced society than the Mayans ever hoped to be. And there ain't nobody that I've come across lately in this society that knows anything about the end of the world. So why the hell would the Mayans have that market cornered?
Just because they get guys that seen stuff.
Yeah, what about that? They're like seeing visions.
Seeing visions? You cats, you know, just because it's the deepest, darkest, distant past doesn't mean that really spooky crap was going on, man. I mean, you guys are, you've seen way too much of Lord of the Rings. Okay.
Yeah, but don't you think there was a time when we talked to midgets and everything?
Yeah.
Do I think there was a time we talked to midgets?
I mean, what was that one?
Yeah, dwarf.
You mean like the Lord of the Rings dwarf?
Yeah.
No, I don't think there was a time. No, I don't.
Are you out of your mind? Ha ha ha. There had to have been.
If you look at the Lord of the Rings, they say that there are goblins and everything.
Well, they might have said a lot of stuff in Lord of the Rings. So what? What is that guy? That doesn't prove anything. That was some old guy, an English professor by the name of J.R.R. Tolkien, who was good with Scandinavian folklore. He was good with the Scandinavian languages. He was very much an aficionado of folk tales. And I also will add at this time, just a teeny-weeny bit racist.
What are you talking about?
I mean all that jazz in there about the men of the West and all, you know. Give me that bull crap.
What do you think? I like the goblins or what? They're like black guys?
Yeah, probably. In J.R.R. Tolkien's mind, yeah. Probably black people were those freaking goblins. I don't know. The only thing I'm saying is this. They don't know jack about jack. They don't know anything about anything. They don't know nothing about the end of the world. And I'm telling you right now, the world ain't ending in December. Take it to the bank. Okay, is that good enough?
No.
I didn't think it would be. The other thing I wanted to mention, I got sidetracked by you idiots, is that I was watching this thing. This guy was beautiful. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And this guy was sitting there, and he's talking to people. His name is, I think, Peter Gerson, something like that. And he's in Sedona, Arizona. And this jackass is claiming that at 11:11 a.m. on the day of the winter solstice, which I don't know what day that is, maybe it's December 11th, but at 11:11 a.m. on the day of the winter solstice, he will stand on a very high rock in Sedona, and he will leap off of that rock, and that supposedly will take him through a hole into another dimension where he'll be able to save the world from the destruction that the Mayans predict.
What?
You heard me. Now, this clown said, they said to him, I believe this guy is actually out trying to drum up sponsorship money for something. And they asked him, well, why? And he said, well, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize that I'm going to need money to get my message out there. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are out for money and everything.
No, that guy's right. What if they do have to have money to get the message out?
Oh, yeah, that guy's right. Why don't you call him up, bud, or better yet, find out what his mailing address is and send him some money. Don't you understand what a con job this whole thing is?
You're saying the Mayans conned it?
I'm not saying the Mayans conned it. I'm not even saying the first guy to predict that the Mayans predicted it conned it. But I am saying that the wave of freaking sharps and con men that came in behind this thing is record-setting. There's people making money on this you wouldn't believe. They've got shelters. They're building all kinds of survival stuff, all kinds of religious cults. Some stupid ass from Europe. I saw this guy last night. Oh, this guy was beautiful. He's out finding just the right place for his, you know, Mayan shelter, and he's looking at different designs. But the bottom line on this is they're making money, real money. A lot of it. That's the thing people don't understand. Whether it's Alex Jones and the 9/11 truth movement or anything else, all of these clowns that buy that stuff don't, to this day, they still don't understand that they're being had by some of the world's best. They're being had. Just think about it. Alex Jones, he got through 9/11 truth until finally there wasn't anything left. I mean, it's just it's a joke, okay? So you got to move on to something else. You can't keep denying the truth forever, which is that there is no 9/11 truth, that, you know, Osama brought the thing down. So then you got to move on to something else. What's the next thing? Well, you pick it, like the Mayan thing here, the international banking thing there. There's always going to be something that you're not being told until you find out that, well, yeah, you have been told, and it's pretty much the way you were told it. And guess what? He just got richer, this guy.
Man, the way you say it, man, it kind of makes sense.
No kidding. What do you think I've been telling you all these years? All right, we're going to come back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. There is, speaking of my bloody eye, a bionic eye test planned for 2013. Getting ready for that? A bionic eye may be in our future as early as next year. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth, man, that, is that, our that, bitch.
Think about 9/11 truth.
The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, guys, I know I promised you we'd open the phones up. We're not going to open them up yet because I'm worried that the last question some people didn't get. We will open the phones up at the bottom of the hour, I promise. Here are the five questions. What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? What L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? Rudy Canoza is from what country? Give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Give me the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And what state is Margaret Gray from originally? At the bottom of the hour, we'll open up the phones. I swear to you, these guys distracted me.
Yeah, we didn't distract you, man. You forgot.
I didn't forget. I felt kind of bad that that maybe I didn't ask that Margaret Gray question clearly enough. All right. Biomedical researchers from the University of New South Wales are hoping to test fully functional bionic eye implants on humans in 2013. Now, this is in Australia. Researchers there intend to build and test a fully functional bionic eye on human patients. On human patients.
That means they're going to have, like, can they see x-ray vision and stuff?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
What, x-ray vision? No, bud. No. Well, what is that, man? What do you mean x-ray vision?
That'd be kind of fun, though.
Yeah, you could look through dresses of a lady. Everything.
Well, that's great. So you're looking through a woman's dress, so whatever, man. You got one bionic eye.
No, just put your hand over the other eye.
That'd be a dead giveaway, though.
Yeah, it would be a dead giveaway.
What do you mean?
You're walking down the street. You guys kill me.
What are you talking about?
You're walking down the street. You got a bionic eye with x-ray vision. You put one hand over one. You're walking behind some chick. What do you think they're going to think?
Yeah, that'd be a dead giveaway.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Hey, man, what are you doing?
You can tell the guy that you got, like, double vision.
Yeah, that's it. I got double vision. I just happen to have double vision here. Guy's got one eye. He's staring with his bionic x-ray eye. Anyway, biomedical researchers from the University of New South Wales are hoping to test fully functional bionic eye implants on humans in the year 2013. Woo! Boy, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, man, and somebody would have said to me, in the year 2013, there will be bionic eyes. It would have flipped me out. You know, like, wow, cool. Now.
Yeah, it ain't that big of a deal.
It's not.
Why don't you think a big deal? That seemed pretty big to me.
Well, it's cool, but it's not like it's in the realm of woohoo science fiction, you dig? In other words, cats that don't have legs now are playing basketball.
Yeah, I seen that one commercial of that one guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy got his leg blown off in Iraq.
Maybe, I don't know where it happened, Robert, but yeah, there's those commercials of those guys shooting hoops with those fake legs on springs and stuff, you know.
That one guy had a leg on a spring?
No, not on a spring.
Well, they do that, but they bounce around.
No, you idiot. The guy's got shoes. It's just got a spring in the joint. In other words, it has the normal flexibility of a regular pair of legs. And that's what people are doing now, you know. So science is an amazing technology, science, engineering. All of these things are amazing. And they are. I'd love to call it a miracle, but now we're getting more and more used to it, you know. So I'm very, very excited about the idea of a bionic eye. That's just amazing. Does it surprise me? Not as much as it would say if, you know, it was 20 or 30 years ago. I remember sitting in my office at K West Radio in Los Angeles in 1979. And I was reading about a test tube baby. That was that little girl I was telling you about.
That the lady, what's her name?
I think her name was Louise Brown. She's now a woman in her 30s. She was conceived in a Petri dish. She was the first. They called them test tube babies back then. Today, we know that this is a kind of process that enables people who ordinarily wouldn't be able to have children to have children. But the actual conception has to take place in an artificial environment. Well, I remember when I first read about this, Louise Brown, it happened in England. It was a mind screwer, man. I was like, whoa. You know, this is, everybody thought it was amazing. Now, she's a woman. I don't know if
you think she remembers being in a dish?
Are you nuts or something?
What?
How's she gonna remember that?
Do you remember being in the womb?
No, I don't, but then there's nothing to see. You're sitting in a dish.
Well, she doesn't sit in the dish forever, you idiot.
What are you talking about? You can look around and go, I'm in a dish, man. I'm not in a womb.
No. That's not how it works. The actual fertilization of the egg takes place in this, as I said, artificial environment, whether it is an actual Petri dish or a test tube. I don't know, but it is some kind. And then the fertilized egg is then implanted or re-implanted, if you will, in the woman's womb. Okay?
Oh, wait a minute, man. You mean she wasn't in a tube?
Yeah, she didn't get born out of a tube?
Are you trying to tell me you guys thought she was born out of a tube or something?
Well, what the hell is the big point then?
Do I got to actually explain this to you, jackballs? The point is that the woman was not conceived in the womb the way the rest of us were. She was conceived in a dish!
Well, who's the dad then? The dish?
No, the father and the mother, but the sperm and the egg.
Oh,
God. And then they put the egg back into mommy, and, okay, does she remember being in a dish?
Well, I thought maybe, because there wasn't no limitations.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, I'm going to open the phone lines up here in just a second. Again, the question is, what L.A. suburb does R.C. Collins call hometown? Rudy Canoza is from what country? Give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son. Give me the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And what state is Margaret Gray from originally? Now, I will tell you this. When we do open up the phones, I am not going to start with caller number one. I'm going to start with caller number 10. I will start with caller number 10 when we do open the phone lines up. So that gives an opportunity for people from, I think, around the country to kind of, you know, get the whole freaking phone system cycled through, man. Because I think if you're taking caller number one.
Yeah, it might be some guy from right around the corner. Might be a guy down the street or something.
Yeah, I could probably call up and win.
No, you ain't going to call up and win nothing, man. So I'll tell you when we open up the phone lines. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We got a lot more news to do here in our news and information hour. Don't forget at philhenryshow.com, you got a backstage pass. And if you don't win the hoodie tonight, man, you can always go over to our shop and buy one. You know, go over to our merchandise shop and get a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The Colombian ambassador wants an apology for the Secret Service agent's behavior while in his country. How about that? That and more coming up. All right, we're going to open the phone lines up. Remember, caller 10 is the first caller we're going to take for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. You got to have all five questions answered correctly. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
We got a winner, and our winner is Mark Bonnet, but I don't know where Mark is because we had a stutter step there. We had our last winner who, first of all, we had a guy who did not have all the answers correctly, and I was surprised, too, because generally once we get somebody on the line, man, boom, they nail it, you know. But we were not able to score with that cat. And then the next guy was our last winner. And we have a pretty consistent contest rule that you can't win within 60 days. So our next guy on the line, Mark Bonnet. Although we will give a consolation prize to our original guy there. I wish I could remember this dude's name, but I had to get off the line real fast because we're back on the air. So, are you doing it, Bud?
Yeah, I'm going to get the guy's information. His name's Mark Bonnet.
Yeah, I know. I got that.
Okay. You got his name?
I just told you what his name is.
All right. Mark Bonnet. Okay.
Find out where the guy's from. Get his address and everything.
Better find out his address, you idiot.
I'm going to get the address. Just want to make sure Phil knew what his name was.
Yes, I know his name.
What is it?
Mark Bonnet.
Okay. Mr. Bonnet, is that your name? Yes, he confirms that's his name.
Will you get out of here? Yes, he does confirm that's his name. All right, so Mark Bonnet is the winner of our Ted's of Beverly Hills, our second Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Oh, man. Working with you guys, I'm telling you, I was talking before the show. I was talking on our pre-show feed, on our video feed. You know, we have an uncensored pre-show that we do. It starts at 9:15 Pacific. It starts at 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern. And on our video cast, Phil TV and HD, we do about 45 minutes. That is essentially uncensored, as are our breaks around here. Oh, jeez. I've had the audio feed shut off all that time. Okay, let me just go through this again. Mark Bonnet is our winner. And, Bud, you have him on the phone now.
Yeah, just confirming his name.
Right. Mark Bonnet wins. We had a guy on the line. And line five, Dan, could you get that gentleman's name and address as well? Because he's going to get a coffee cup as a consolation prize, okay? He was the first hoodie winner, but we have a rule whereby you cannot win within 60 days of winning again. And then the first cat was doing fine until he got to the names of Steve Bozell's family.
What did he say?
He said he got everything right, and then he said it was April, Steve Jr., and Ashley. And as you know, it's April Jr. In fact, let me give you the answers to the questions right now. Number one, what L.A. suburb is R.C. Collins' hometown? Chatsworth. Number two, Rudy Canosa is from what country? Argentina. Number three, give me the names of Steve Bozell's wife, daughter, and son, and it is April Jr., and Steve Jr. Number four, the name of the man who founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police is Major Elvis Newton. And number five, what state is Margaret Gray from originally? Pennsylvania. She's made a big deal out of being from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So there you go, man. We'll do another one.
When's the next one? People want to know.
I don't know when the next one's going to be, man. I ain't giving these things away like hotcakes, okay? But I will say this. Yeah, we will give another one away at some point. And I would also like to mention that if you want to get a Ted's Beverly Hills sweat hoodie, you can do it anytime you want. You just go to our souvenir shop there. Go to shop at philhenryshow.com. That's shop at philhenryshow.com. New York City is mulling banning happy hour. Now, does this sound like some communist stuff or what, man? Happy hour in New York City could end if the Department of Health policy party poopers go ahead with a proposed ban on booze specials at bars and restaurants, according to the New York Post. It is absolutely being discussed, confirmed a department source. It goes to show you the spirit with which something. Anyway, high-level conversations have gone beyond merely throwing pencils on the ceiling and seeing what sticks to seeing if, in point of fact, this is something that... they're going to do, that they're going to be absolutely seriously considering. Let me get this story up so that we are not dealing with, some problems with formatting here. So the happy hour in New York City, and, God knows that if it takes off there, who knows? It's absolutely being discussed. It goes to show you the spirit with which they operate. Everyone is a child. This is according to a department source. Are you ready for that? Sources said the happy hour ban is being pushed by the agency's marathon-running boss, Commissioner Thomas Farley, and is serious enough for one source to say the alcohol lobby had better find itself a good lawyer.
Well, but I don't understand.
They're not really saying why. They're just saying that it probably is. It has to do with health. Maybe they think there's too many drunks that are wheeling out into the night air after having, bellied up to the bar during happy hour. I don't know. Are there more drunk driving arrests? Are there more? New York City, if you're talking about Manhattan especially, everybody's freaking walking. Or they're riding a subway, or they're riding in a freaking cab. So what's the story here?
Man, that's a whole, there's no reason for that at all then.
There's no reason. Doesn't seem like it to me. All right. Sources said the happy hour ban is being pushed by the agency's marathon running commissioner, Thomas Farley. What the hell? The Department of Health. Agency spokesman Sam Miller denied existing plans to pursue any policy around discount alcohol sale. But sources said the anti-booze sentiment at the agency has reached a fever pitch, with officials recently asking state officials about the legality of liquor in ice cream, referring to potent products infused with bourbon, rum, and tequila. Don't mess around with booze. You should know enough about the human species to know that the human species needs to alter its mood. The human species needs to alter the chemistry of its brain from time to time, because many of us are born, in fact, most of us are born, with biochemistry of the brain that needs to be put into balance somehow, some way. Some people do it. Sure, by running or manipulating the endorphins or the brain chemicals. Some people do it by smoking weed. Some people do it by going to the doctor and getting antidepressants. That's the healthiest way, I suppose. Some people have themselves a drink every now and again. Some people are alcoholics, no question about it. But that is not the majority of drinkers. That's not even a sizable minority of drinkers. So a guy that wants to start manipulating or start fooling around with booze sales in New York City, especially Manhattan, as I said, where everyone's either walking, riding in a cab or taking a bus or riding on a subway. You got to have a really serious dislike for the human race. I'm telling you right now. And, I'm glad that you jog, and I'm glad that you have the things in your life that you have. And I understand that you want to make sure that everything is good and healthy. I realize you're the Department of Health. But beyond, people abusing alcohol, which, of course, is unhealthy, you guys ain't got nothing to say about it. You don't have anything to say about it. And getting drunk is not abusing alcohol.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean, why do I say that? What does that mean? Getting drunk is not necessarily abusing alcohol. I can go to bars, and I have, in New York City, and get drunk. And I've done it. And I've walked back to my hotel, and I've sat down in my hotel room, and I've kicked off my shoes, and I've watched TV, and I've gone to bed. Okay?
That all you did?
That's none of your business. But so getting drunk is not does not necessarily make one a health hazard, and is not necessarily a hazard to one's health. If that is that what they're saying?
I don't know, man. It just seemed to, that they don't want nobody drinking.
They don't want anybody. They don't want people drinking to excess, it seems, which is getting drunk in their minds, and which is what they consider discount alcohol sales leading to that. That's all I can figure about this. God, I hate that. When are they going to get wise, man? I can even understand the whole smoking thing. I get it. I get the idea of secondhand smoke. Okay, fine. The guy that came up with the idea that you got to wear a helmet on a motorcycle, this is a real jackass. Now, maybe it's because our emergency workers don't like wiping some guy's brains off of a windshield. Maybe it's because our emergency workers don't like the idea of having to find one half of a guy over here and another half of a guy over there that they decided to enforce seatbelts. Maybe that's it. But I know one thing. It doesn't really have anything to do with the safety of other people if I'm not wearing a seatbelt or a helmet. But somehow they pushed that through. Cigarette smoking, I get it.
But think about cigarette smoking, secondhand smoke.
Yeah, secondhand smoke. But booze, you know, when we talk about happy hour sales, now maybe if you're driving a car, I don't know, you know. But like I say, in an area where nobody's driving. All right, that's enough of that. Okay, so our winner is Mark Monette, and we'll find out from what city Mark hails and just exactly what he's all about. And our runner-up winner here tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's our News and Information Hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, Phil TV in HD.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the only radio show in the world that will really kind of, you know, make a real big thing out of people that win things, because we don't give things away that much. So we're now into our second quarter hour of announcing the winners.
Well, you get the name of the guy's town.
Right. Because I had to get on the air. Mark Monette won, and he's from Syracuse. That's what I want to say. Syracuse, New York. So we wanted to take the 10th caller so that we could sort of, like, spread the wealth, man, because I was afraid if we're taking the first caller, we're going to get people from the West Coast. Although Gary Barsetti is the winner of our consolation mug. And Gary lives in El Sobrante, California, which I think is up Northern California. So our winner is Mark Monette from Syracuse. And way to do it, Mark. Now, here's a story that RC and who's the guy?
Harvey Weirman. What are you talking about? Harvey Weirman, he's going to be mad.
Harvey Weirman's going to be mad. I'm mad. I'm mad. Those two jackasses, I could have had a more butchered up hour if I tried. He's going to be mad.
Yeah, well, he was supposed to get to this BMW store because he wanted to talk about that one.
Well, that's too bad, man. They took all their time talking about Nadia Suleiman and whether she's going to do porn or not, which our understanding is she's so broke she's considering it. You know Octomom?
Yeah.
She's going to do a porn movie.
So? I'll be sure to miss that one.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Just thought I'd... Man sues... Wait till you hear this one. This is from San Francisco Gate. Man sues BMW... He said... Just hear me out. Man sues BMW after his motorcycle seat allegedly caused a 2-year erection.
You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Viagra and Cialis... apparently have nothing on a BMW motorcycle seat. According to a lawsuit filed last week in San Francisco Superior Court, the seat left its driver with a 2-year erection. Henry Wolf filed suit against... I think this guy's kidding. Henry Wolf filed suit against BMW North America and Corbin Pacific Incorporated. He claimed in the lawsuit that the ridged seat of his 1993 BMW motorcycle caused him mental and emotional anguish after it left him with a severe case of priapism, a.k.a. a long-lasting erection. Wolf said he rode the motorcycle in San Francisco on a 4-hour road trip on May 1st, 2010, and developed the priapism soon after.
What do they call it?
Priapism. P-R-I-A-P-I-S-M. I guess that means always having an erection. Which is pretty much the case for most guys anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, so what's unusual about that, Henry? All right. Wolf has been experiencing continuing problems since his motorcycle ride, according to his attorney, Vernon Dozier. I'm kidding. Vernon Bradley.
Yeah, Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Bradley, the brother of Milton Bradley, who's always playing games.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, his attorney, Vernon Bradley of Sausalito, who wrote in the lawsuit, he's now unable to engage in sexual activity, which is causing him substantial emotional and mental anguish. How the hell is he unable to experience sexual activity?
I don't get it.
The guy's got a long-lasting whatchamacallit. Huh? The motorcycle seat was manufactured by Corbin Pacific. I think they ought to keep on making those seats and, you know, expand the market. Anyway, the suit said that Wolf has suffered wage loss, hospital expenses, general damage, and emotional distress from his condition, and he's seeking an unsatisfaction. He's now unable to engage in sexual activity. Does that mean that he had the priapism and now he doesn't have it anymore?
Yeah, maybe he had that, like, 2 years of it, and then it went away. Maybe that's why he's mad.
Is he suing them because it gave him a 2-year erection, and then that was the end of it, only 2 years worth?
Yeah, that's probably it, man.
So, Corbin Pacific, what you should do is put a sticker on the seat.
Only good for 2-year erection.
Yeah, it's only good for 2 years, and then it's going to go away, man. That's about as goofy a suit as I've ever heard in my life. And I'm going to tell you right now that if they find any medical guy, any scientific guy that backs this horse dung up, they are engaging in some kind of wild-ass con. I don't buy it for a minute. This guy, first of all, man, anybody that's ever rode a motorcycle or any kind of two-wheeled thing knows that it doesn't increase blood flow down there. If anything, man, you know, it's like there's not enough.
You're talking about like coming off and went to sleep? Yeah, I heard about a guy one time. He said it went to sleep on him.
Went to sleep on him? So this guy is the first guy that I ever heard of, man, who sits on a motorcycle and or any, like I said, two-wheeled vehicle, and he gets like one that lasts for 2 years. And now, the lawsuit says, he's unable to engage in sexual activity at all. So there's something we're not being told, or maybe it's something that we shouldn't ask about in the first place, is what I'm thinking. Good luck, Henry Wolf of San Francisco.
Gotta get her with Octobomb. He could be in a movie.
Yeah, what about that? What about what? He doesn't, it's gone, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We can get together with Octobomb in the movie. Don't worry about it, man. They got plenty of guys that'll get together with Octobomb if they pay him enough.
That'll look like she's gonna do it.
Well, that's what I heard, that Octobomb is considering a porn career, man. When we find out more about that, we'll let you know. Gun group to sue over a new Obama regulation. Department of Justice wants to vigorously... Blah, 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 blah. There's a whole bunch of other crap, man. Now, here's a story here that I think you'll find interesting. It's so much freaking Secret Service story. So many Secret Service stories. Did you hear this one? Sarah Palin says the recently fired Secret Service agent who bragged about, quote, checking her out. Did you hear about this?
Oh. You talking about a guy who looked at Sarah Palin?
That's what I'm looking at here. Sarah Palin says the recently fired Secret Service agent who bragged about, quote, checking her out while protecting the former GOP vice presidential candidate during the 2008 campaign has gotten what he deserves. Palin said on Thursday on Fox News, Secret Service agent David Cheney, she said, quote, well, check this out, buddy. You're fired. David Cheney is one of two supervisors forced to resign following a prostitution scandal while in Cartagena, Colombia.
Oh, she, he didn't get fired on account of he checked her out.
No, apparently not. Cheney had posted at least two photographs on his Facebook page of him with Palin. He said, I was really checking her out, if you know what I mean. Cheney wrote of his assignment guarding Palin after a friend commented on the picture posted in January 2009. He also posted a picture of a woman in a revealing bikini top standing in the background looking at him. The photo was captioned, not in front of my son. Details of the photos and comments were first reported by the Washington Post. Palin said the scandal is a symptom of government run amok. It's like, who's minding the store around here, she told Fox. The president, for one, he better be wary there of when Secret Service is accompanying his family on vacation. They may be checking out the first lady instead of guarding her. Wow, that's some pretty harsh. Yeah, it's pretty harsh, man, don't you think?
What's harsh about it? The guy checked her boobs out and everything.
Well, he didn't say boobs.
Yeah, well, that's probably what he's talking about.
But what I'm saying is, man, she's talking about an entire agency of professionals that, you know, let's be honest, were guarding her with their lives, okay? And she's talking about them like they're all scumbags. The scandal arose near the start of the Summit of the Americas conference when at least some of 11 Secret Service employees brought prostitutes back to their Cartagena hotel. All right, well, we'll climb all over that one when next we see you, which will be later on tonight. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for our video cast each and every night, live streaming video of the Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. And make sure you get your backstage pass so you can check all that out. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is at philhendryshow.com. We'll see you guys later on tonight. Congratulations to Mark Monette and to our good friend Gary Barsetti, the Phil Hendry Show, and let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.